We are 22 West Radio, the next wave of K-Beach. 22 West Radio is 22westmedia.com and 98.1 FM, KKJZ, HD3, Long Beach, Los Angeles. You have found yourself in a dark place. A domain for the strange and the deranged, the sleepless and the living dead. This is the show where nightmares come true. But you are not afraid of your fears. Fear is your obsession. Fear is your entertainment. Welcome to the horror show. You're listening to the Dark Lady.
Welcome to the horror show. Welcome to another sleepless hour. You're listening to The Dark Lady on 22 West Radio. I'm your host, Kat Fontalea. It's October 3rd, 2017, and there are 28 more days until Halloween. And speaking of Halloween, have you ever wondered where this macabre and morbid holiday came from? And why do we celebrate it today? Tonight on The Dark Lady, we're going to talk all about the history of Halloween. I'm going to tell you about the pagan roots of Halloween, how it evolved over time, and how it came to be celebrated in America. I'm also going to tell you the origins of the jack-o'-lantern, so don't you dare touch that up. We'll be right back after the song.
Something strange.
Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors on your diaphragm.
It's our town.
Everybody's free.
This town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Down that corner and hang hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting there to pounce and
it's bloody green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice.
Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream. Everybody scream.
Hear our town of Halloween.
I am the clown of the tearaway face.
Here in a flash and bubble to trace.
I am the who in the cuckoo snare.
I am the wind blowing through your hair.
I am the shadow on the moon at night. Dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween.
but we're not mean in our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now? Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Slender Tin Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween, everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
This was Halloween from the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack. You're listening to The Dark Lady on 22 West Radio. Tonight on The Dark Lady, we're going to be talking about the origins of Halloween. And why don't we start with the jack-o'-lantern? And as you all know, that's probably like the most iconic centerpiece, I guess, of Halloween. It represents a Halloween. Last week I went to Costco and pumpkins already like on sale. So it's that time of year. Now, according to history.com, the practice of decorating jack-o'-lanterns originated in Ireland, where there's a lot of turnips and potatoes. And if you didn't know this, the first jack-o'-lanterns, they weren't actually pumpkins. They were made out of potatoes and turnips. And when Irish immigrants came to America, home of the pumpkin, it kind of integrated into our Halloween festivities. Now, where did this jack-o'-lantern come from? The name jack-o'-lantern comes from an Irish folktale about a man named Stingy Jack. According to legend, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. And Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink, so he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. And when the devil turned into a coin, Jack decided to keep the money and put it in his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back into his original form. Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year, and that should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. The next year, Jack again tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. While he was up in the tree, Jack carved a sign of the cross on the devil's bark, so that the devil could not come down until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years. Soon after, Jack died, and as the legend goes, God would not allow such an unsavory figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick Jack had played on him, and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. He sent Jack off into the night, only with a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved-out turnip, and has been roaming the earth ever since. The Irish began to refer this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern, and then simply Jack-o'-Lantern.
You're moving to the beat, and now we're gonna teach you to do
Was it all a dream? Who can I believe? It can't be what it seems. It was only Halloween. What does it all mean?
From his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the match.
He did the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the match.
He did the monster match. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoot ball.
The party had just begun.
In a shoot ball.
The guest included Wolfman,
in a shoot ball.
Dracula, and his son.
Ball.
The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds.
Ball.
Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds.
Ball.
The coffin bangers were about to arrive.
Ball.
With their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
Played the match.
They played the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the match.
It got on in a flash.
They played the match.
They played the monster match.
Ball.
Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring.
Ball.
Seemed he was troubled by just one thing.
Ball.
Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
Ball.
Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the match.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on and flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
Ball.
Now everything's cool. Drax a part of the band.
Ball.
And my monster mash is the hit of the land.
Ball.
For you, the living, this mash was meant to.
Ball.
When you get to my door, tell them Body sent you.
And you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
Easy, boy. You impetuous young boy.
Mash. Monster mash.
Affordable, professional, and located on the second floor of the USU, Electric Hair has all of your nail and hair needs covered. For an appointment, call 562-958-4522. That's 562-958-4522.
Bonjour tout le monde. Is this what you think French music is? Just accordions and waltz? Well, you're wrong. My name is Ricardo Alejandro Pulido, a.k.a. Francois, and I'm your host along with my lovely co-host Selene Castaneda, a.k.a. Kaz, and we are Francois sur la radio, bringing you SoCal, CSULB, and 22 West Radio, all French or French-themed music, the good, the bad, the old, and the new, as well as info on CSULB's French Club and anything related to the French culture. Join us for un temps inoubliable, or an unforgettable time, and tune in every Tuesday from 9 to 10 p.m. A plus, mes chers amis. Bonsoir et au revoir. Yours truly, François.
A program of the Associated Students of Cal State Long Beach. This is 22 West Radio, the next wave of K-Beach. You're listening to The Dark Lady on K-Beach Radio, and tonight we're just talking about the origins of Halloween. When did it start, and why are we celebrating it now? So, do you guys remember your first Halloween costume? I'm pretty sure my parents dressed me up when I was a little kid, but the first Halloween that I remember, I was Frog. I think I was like 7. And my parents took me trick-or-treating and they put me in this frog suit. And I remember just like, you know, going up and down the block in my little froggy costume, and it was so hot. Like, I think it was a really brisk, you know, cold Halloween, but, you know, my parents, like, you know, took me and I had a lot of fun. You know, I came back home with, like, buckets of candy, but that frog suit was so hot. It was like one of those, I was like a stuffed animal. It felt like I was a stuffed animal, but I got a lot of candy, and I was super happy about that. Had candy until Thanksgiving, I think. So, you know, I love Halloween. I love this time of year. Haven't really been doing a lot of dress-up lately, but I know there's still people, you know, my age, 21 plus, who are still wearing costumes. I don't think, usually I go with zombie. I mean, if I get invited to a party, or if I plan on going out with my friends or something, my go-to, like, default is, you know, zombie. I just use lipstick to make blood, like fake blood on my face or something, just make myself look dead. And yeah, rip up some of my clothes, maybe buy like a bottle of fake blood and just splash it on. You know, it's so easy to me. Like, you just gotta like make yourself like look all roughed up, I guess. So let's keep going with the show. Tonight we're talking about the origins of Halloween. I told you about the origins of the jack-o'-lantern, and now we're just going to talk about the holiday in general. So according to history.com, Halloween is thought to have originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off roaming ghosts. So Samhain, it pretty much marks the beginning of winter. And this was a time where the underworld, you know, like ghosts and spirits and all that, they would rise up and walk amongst the living. So it's kind of like a blurring of the two worlds, of the spirit world and our world, pretty much, like in a nutshell, that's what Samhain was. Now, the Celts who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that is now Ireland, the UK and northern France, celebrated the new year on November 1st. This day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter, a time of year that was often associated with human death. Celts believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became blurred. And on the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to Earth, in addition to causing trouble and damaging crops. Celts thought the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the druids, or Celtic priests, to make predictions about the future. For a people entirely dependent on the volatile natural world, these prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long, dark winter. So what the druids did to commemorate the event was they built sacred bonfires, and people gathered and burned crops, animals, as sacrifices to the gods. And during the celebration, the Celts wore costumes, typically consisting of animal heads and skins, and attempted to tell each other's fortunes. When the celebration was over, they relit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier that evening, from the sacred bonfire to help protect them during the coming winter. Now, fast forward to 43 AD, the Roman Empire had conquered the majority of the Celtic territory. In the course of the 400 years that they ruled the Celtic lands, two festivals of Roman origin were combined with the traditional Celtic celebration of Samhain. The first was Feralia, a day in late October when the Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. The second day was to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is the apple, and the incorporation of the celebration into Samhain's probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that is practiced today on Halloween.
Forevermore. sights to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every stitch. Do you think I see some other cat looking over his shoulder at me? And he's strange, sure is strange. You got to pick up every stitch, you got to pick up every.
Season of the Witch by Donovan. You're listening to The Dark Lady on 22 West Radio. This is the show where it's Halloween all year round, and October 31st is just when the rest of the world gets with the program. So tonight we're talking about the origins of Halloween. I told you where the jack-o'-lantern came from, and I told you that Halloween first began as a Celtic tradition about 2,000 years ago called Samhain. And now let's fast forward to 1000 AD. So in 1000 AD, the Roman Catholic Church made November 2nd All Souls Day to honor the dead. It is widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of Samhain by creating a church-sanctioned holiday. All Souls Day was celebrated similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils. The All Day Saints celebration was also called All Hallows, or All Hallow Mass. And the night before it, the traditional night of Samhain in the Celtic religion began to be called All Hallows Eve, and eventually Halloween. Now, let's talk about how Halloween came to America. Celebration of Halloween was extremely limited in colonial New England because of the rigid Protestant belief systems there. Halloween was much more common in Maryland and the southern colonies. As the beliefs and customs of different European ethnic groups, as well as the American Indians, meshed, a distinctly American version of Halloween began to emerge. The first celebrations included, quote, play parties, public events held to celebrate the harvest, where neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance, and sing. Colonial Halloween festivities also featured the telling of ghost stories and mischief-making of all kinds. By the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivals were common, but Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country. In the second half of the 19th century, 1950, America was flooded with new immigrants. These new immigrants, especially the millions of Irish fleeing Ireland's potato famine of 1850, helped, so this was the 1850s, in the 1800s, helped to popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. Taking from Irish and English traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go to house to house, asking for food or money, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat tradition. Young women believed that on Halloween they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple pairings, or mirrors. In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a holiday, more about community and neighborly get-togethers than about ghosts, pranks, and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. Parties focused on games, food of the season, and festive costumes. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening or grotesque out of Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century. By the 1920s and 1930s, Halloween had become a secular but community-centered holiday, with parades and town-wide parties as the featured entertainment. Despite the best efforts of many schools and communities, vandalism began to plague Halloween celebrations in many communities during this time. By the 1950s, town leaders had successfully limited vandalism, and Halloween had evolved into a holiday directed mainly to the young. Due to the high numbers of young children during the 50s baby boom, parties moved from town civic centers into the classroom or home, where they could be more easily accommodated. Between 1920 and 1950, the centuries-old practice of trick-or-treating was also revived. Trick-or-treating was a relatively inexpensive way for an entire community to share the Halloween celebration. In theory, families could also prevent tricks from being played on them by providing the neighborhood children with small treats. A new American tradition was born, and it has continued to grow. So today, Americans spend an estimated $6 billion annually on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a stretch to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You bring your knees in tight. Where is the velvet dust? It really does feel insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's do the time warp again.
It's a dream. Dimension with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation.
Like you're under to the left. Put your hands on your hips.
Need to grab breakfast or lunch on the run? Visit Carl's Jr. in the USU, the little place with the big taste.
Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band here live every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. through Glory Days Radio. I'm the host, Sammy the Blade, and I give you some of the greatest music ever made from one of the greatest songwriters and rock bands of all time. So start your weekend off right every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. here on Glory Days Radio.
Werewolves of London. kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Ahoo, werewolves of London. Gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw werewolves drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
That was Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. You're listening to The Dark Lady on 22 West Radio, where it's Halloween all year round. Today, we're just talking about the origins of Halloween. I told you about Samhain. I told you about how it began about 2,000 years ago by Celtic Druids, how they celebrated the merging of two worlds and the beginning of winter. Two worlds, meaning the underworld, where spirits come to our realm, into the world, and it's sort of this like merging, and the Celtics would celebrate the dead, honor the dead, pray for the dead, and Halloween originally was about superstition. It was, you know, about, you know, ghosts and paying your homage to the dead. So, I told you all about that. Now let's talk about Halloween tradition of trick-or-treating. So, trick-or-treating probably dates back, according to history.com, trick-or-treating probably dates back to the early All Souls Day parades in England. And during the festivities, poor citizens would beg for food, and families would give them pastries called, quote, soul cakes, in return for their promise to pray for their family's dead relatives. The distribution of soul cakes was encouraged by the church as a way to replace the ancient practices of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. So the leaving food and wine, that would be Samhain, the Samhain tradition. The practice, which was referred to as going a-souling, was eventually taken up by the children who would visit the houses in their neighborhood and be given ale, food, and money. The tradition of dressing in costume for Halloween has both European and Celtic roots. Hundreds of years ago, winter was an uncertain and frightening time. Food supplies ran low and many people were afraid of the dark. The short days of winter were full of constant worry. On Halloween, when it was believed that ghosts came back to the earthly world, people thought that they would encounter ghosts if they left their homes. To avoid being recognized by these ghosts, people would wear masks when they left their homes after dark. so that the ghosts would mistake them for fellow spirits. On Halloween, to keep the ghosts away from their houses, people would place bowls of food outside their homes to appease the ghosts and prevent them from attempting to enter. was Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne. You're listening to The Dark Lady on 22 West Radio. Well, that wraps up another hour of The Dark Lady. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you all stay safe out there. I'll be back here again, same time, same place. If you want, please follow me at Dark Lady Podcast on Twitter, Facebook. I have an Instagram. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.